Welcome to Coaching Uncaged, the podcast that pushes the boundaries of the coaching profession with cutting-edge practitioners, authors, and thought leaders. Coaching Uncaged brings you pioneering thinking to enrich the art and science of coaching in all its forms. And now, introducing your host, Robert Stevenson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Coaching Uncaged. Today I am joined by Alison Wybrow. Alison is a coach, a consultant, a supervisor, an author, a founder, and so much more. Alison, it's great to have you on the call with us today.
Thank you ever so much, Robert. It's really lovely to be here.
So you and I, we started talking maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and we were chatting about sort of coaching and the impact of coaching and how it works. And then we started talking about the environment, and that's where I got to realize how passionate you were about the environment and the climate coaching alliance that you were a founder of. And I guess it would be lovely for people just to hear sort of a little bit of a history of who you are and how you arrived at that place.
I'll try and make that as succinct and sensible as possible, because that's a very big question, as it is for all of us. And it reminds me of our first conversation, was thinking about having this conversation within the context of coronavirus. And after talking, we realised that actually that coronavirus was actually probably something that's in the context of the wider environmental and climate breakdown. So it's really nice to have this sort of opportunity. So as I was, I said something similar in a different conversation, is that actually my story is probably very familiar to lots of people in terms of their own story. So we all started out, potentially many of us started out with a deep concern and connection towards our earth and towards the environment. And as younger people, we were probably much more active. And then we became more concerned about our professional lives, what we were doing, you know, feeding ourselves, having families. And then me, like many others, has woken up to realise, and we have all woken up at different points over the past sort of decade, 20 years, 30 years, and realise that what we thought was in good hands is not in good hands. And how long could we watch the numbers of accelerated warming, accelerated carbon emissions, degeneration of our earth? And it was that realization that the people we assume have power have not got this. And so we all need to step forward and give them the courage and convictions to really make some deep systemic changes. And you can start to see some of that coming through. Yeah, so I think that's probably a familiar story for many. And my own personal work, I've often been someone trying to bring things together that have been separate. So earlier on, people may know me more for the work I did in the coaching psychology field, bringing coaching and psychology together, not on my own, but with a group of others who were keen to see that sort of intersection of those two areas of those two professions. And so that's now an established part of the coaching industry, coaching and psychologists actually coming together and bringing their different gifts. And as I did organisational work and started to think about how organisations flourish and release, you know, really turn their values into practices and really release the energy towards purposeful organisations, it really started to make me think, what are these organisations? You know, what is their purpose and what's the difference that they're making to the bigger conversation, to the bigger environment that they're part of? And that took me away from coaching and organisational development into really deepening my awareness into the state of the world, into understanding the ecology, the economy, and the social context that we're in, and how these things are so deeply interconnected, which then led me to think, well, what if coaching was reframed, and instead of being about individual and organizational success, what if it was there for the purpose of a healthy biosphere and for the health and well-being of all species. And if, as your title of this conversation suggests, if coaching was really uncaged, so it's been caged up in these ideas of individual, personal, organisational success, and that cage is far too small. And so if we really open that up and really thought about the purpose of coaching, really aligned to the words of Sir John Whitmore and his understanding of coaching, that it's really there to help be part of this great turning, is to help humans reimagine their relationship with the earth, and it's to help us really deepen our awareness and take ownership for our for what we do as nature through, you know, through all the generations as an ancestor and thinking about the generations yet to come. So John Whitmore had a massive view of what coaching was. Not all of us really connected or heard that at the time. But I think we're starting to really come into awareness of what that view might be. And it really does align to coaching being there for a regenerative coaching, being there for the health of the biosphere and the well-being of all living sentient beings on this planet.
As you were talking there, the idea of systems within systems within systems was coming to mind, and how I guess as coaches, we may not recognize that we are part of a bigger system, and how we might embrace that or lean into that and acknowledge that we might be coaching an individual, but that individual works for an organization, and that organization creates a product, and that product goes out into the world and then is used or consumed, and that has an impact. But there are impacts all along that chain, and how as individuals, coaching one-to-one, we have a part to play in that. It might not be necessarily an active part that we're aware of, but there is an acknowledging of how, where do we fit within that system?
Yeah, you've just opened up a whole world there, Robert. And I think there's two things to look at that. One is you could see that there are boundaries around those systems. So you could see there's a coach, there's a coachee, there's the organisation, there's the world outside. Or you could see that actually, if you look at that through a slightly different lens, all of those things are already connected and already in the room. So whether we are conscious of it or not, we are always in a in constant communication with all of those levels of the system. We all breathe, we all eat, we all drink. So as a coach, one of the things that, sort of moving on quite quickly to one of the ideas that's really central to this idea of the role coaches can play, is that we, the work for coaches is both the work on themselves to raise their awareness of their deep interconnectivity and interdependence and their contact points with all of those parts of the system themselves, but then is to enable coaches to really allow themselves to be open to that broad systemic frame that you've introduced. And so you can imagine that a coach who was less open or less aware of that interconnectedness might ignore the tree outside the window, or might ignore the cat that's jumped on the coachee's knee during the coaching session. But someone who's much more open to that broad systemic perspective might invite the coachee to look out of the window and to take in that tree, and to invite them to consider what they might listen to if they listen to that tree, or they might say, and how is that tree a metaphor for what we're exploring today? They might invite the person to say to the cat, well, what is it? Why have you jumped on my knee? What's the question you want to ask in this coaching session? So there's something about when you're open yourself, you are open to the system that's around you. But it's not quite so serendipitous. There's also the opportunity to consider stakeholders in all of those levels of the system and to invite them into the room. So when we look at success here, what would the you know, what would success look like to this group of people or to that group of people? Or maybe if you're working with someone in the retail industry, and what would success look like here to those people that are mining the metal for the product that you're creating, or making the clothing for the articles that you're selling?
This feels like one of those philosophical conversations that can sort of go out and in again, that can become very detailed whilst at the same time staying very high chunk. And as I'm thinking about what you're saying and looking out my own window at the trees outside, I wonder, where does the coach bring that invitation in, or maybe how do they sit with that when that might not be what the client is bringing into the space? So that idea of the stakeholders or what's happening in the wider system, as a coach, me asking that question when that isn't necessarily what the client has entered into the space to explore, whilst recognizing that we are all in relation to those things.
And I think there's so many different avenues to explore here, isn't there? So there are many, many ways that we can bring in a bigger, either sense, a wider lens or a bigger sense of self. So I'm just thinking of a coachee I'm working with, and they're struggling to get out of a story of success that's really limited them. And so they're really keen to sort of step into a different purpose. And so one of the questions I might ask them is, you know, what might your grandchildren say to your great-grandchildren about who you were and about what you did, which helps them move beyond here. So there are many, many different ways of exploring those questions, and in a way that actually is relevant to what the client is bringing. But more than that, the other angle that you've set me off on is, and that is that is exactly why the Climate Coaching Alliance is one of the reasons that the Climate Coaching Alliance exists, is because none of us have got this. You know, I might sit here and say, well, you could do this and could do that, but, you know, really? How do we really do this when we're sitting with our clients, and how do we do it with grace and with real skill, but also vulnerability, you know, knowing that we're not going to get it right, that this is a co-created conversation. But how do we do it, and what's right for each of us? Because there isn't one way to do this. And so the Climate Coaching Alliance, part of it was designed to create a space for us to come together and really just co-coach each other in this space and go, well, you know, what do I do? What might I have said? How do I sit with this? You know, what are some of the things I can start to think about? What are the tools and techniques I can really explore and play with that I can then take into my client conversations?
So some of this reminds me of a conversation I was having the other day about coaching and the art of coaching, or coaching using art forms, and how you might at the beginning of a session or a piece of work, in that contracting piece, having that conversation that says, and this might also be in the space, or we might bring this into the space, so that the client isn't surprised if you talk about the environment or ecology or nature. They recognize that that's part of the system that they sit within. So the part of me sort of goes, in that contracting, we might begin that discussion so that when working with our coachees, we don't feel like we're interrupting as we bring it into the space. Because there's just a question for me around whose agenda are we working with? When we bring the climate in, is it our agenda? Is it our client's agenda? But then again, is it the systemic agenda, because it's part of what's happening to us?
Yeah, I like the place where you landed there. And the point about contracting, absolutely. And it's finding a way to articulate it in your profile that actually, you know, this is of, you know, what is it you're working with? How is it that you coach? And we put everything in there, don't we? We put our values, our experience, we put our, you know, some of the approaches we might use. So we might then start to just describe this as we would any other aspect of our profile. And you know what? You might get some work as a result of it being in there, because leaders too are sitting there struggling with this. And so if they can see someone who's actually able to sit and struggle with them, then actually that's not a turn off. That's actually oh, thank goodness there's someone here who can sit and chew through this with me and help me both in that process of despair and overwhelm, and also in that okay, and so what now? What does that now mean? So I think that there's a real call there for us to catch up with our coaching clients who are sitting with this in their daily conversations, in the workplace, in the boardroom, in their team meetings, and sitting with what is ours to do.
I really like that phrase, sit with. It reminds me of a phrase that Nick Bolton, the founder of Animus, sometimes uses, and that's the sort of a withness that, you know, we are co-creating our exploration. It's not being done to, but we are together in this exploration. And it sort of makes me think about how there is a vulnerability that we can access when we are in that withness or sitting with someone, both our vulnerability, which then may allow our coachee or our client's vulnerability to come into the space and go, we don't know what we're going to do with this. We don't know what's going to happen, but perhaps what's our part or the beginning of our journey to explore this.
And there's a nice the thought that comes to mind there is the idea of letting go. And so bringing in Peter Hawkins and his work, he often he uses a phrase which is really helpful. You know, it's how do you let the ecology do the coaching, or the ecology do the supervising, so that you're almost allowing yourself to let go of what you think you need to be doing or should be doing or have to do, and to let go of the fear, and actually to just allow that ecology to come in and those questions to come in a very transparent way, because you've already said this is important to you in your contracting, then actually you can allow that to come in.
Reminds me of how as a new coach our questions can often feel clunky and clumsy, and as we get more practice and we develop that craft and our art form of coaching, we're more skilled in how we bring those questions in, and we become more observant in what we are noticing of our coachees in our sessions. And it sort of makes me think about my own clunkiness, I guess, when I think about, well, how would I bring the environment into, or the ecology into, a coaching space? And perhaps there is a space of practicing that to get over that clunkiness, so that I can allow it to do the work itself, because that's part of what happens in coaching, is the process does the work, as opposed to I do the work, I hold the process.
Yeah. And that's lovely. And when we're learning any new thing, then we have to go through the clunky phase, don't we? And so again, it comes back to, again, the Climate Coaching Alliance is creating spaces for those conversations. But it also makes me go, aha, so Robert, you're part of quite a big training organisation. So, you know, what do you need to do to create the space for this to show up? Because it's out there, it's in here, it's out there. Mm. It is the space that coaching is starting to recognise that it can really have some value here to, you know, if we think about, it's the stories that we tell that shift our sense of who we are and how we might act and who we might be. So the numbers of parts per million and droughts and heat waves, they affect us, they can traumatize us, but they don't sort of help us necessarily move on their own. So that restoring, re-understanding of who we are. And so coaching's got a really valuable role to play in sort of transforming our relationship with ourselves and our earth. And so I'm curious now, going to put you on the spot.
Well, you know, we have had a really interesting time sort of looking at what's the role of coaching. And it's one of those questions that we're often debating within our meetings about, you know, why are we here as an organization? You know, what is it that we do? And whilst part of what we do is train coaches, why are we doing that? And our why is because we want people to live their best lives, to live courageous lives, and to fully, you know, reach that potential and to question themselves deeply and philosophically, to understand who they are and how do they want to live this life, both as the coach and the coach asking the coachee or facilitating the coachee. And then part of what's come out of that has been these ad hoc little sort of peaks of, I guess, social impact work that we've done over the years, supporting different organizations with either coaches or ideas or supervision to do some of their work. And then now we've created a whole social impact arm of Animus, where we're going, okay, what can we do? What is being called from us, to us, from our community and outside, where we can actually lean in and do some work with, do some supporting of, to create a wider change through the coaches that are part of our community and the partnerships that we can then create. So that's, I guess, as an organization, that's our response is, okay, let's lean into this. And we have a head of our social impact, Emma Kobayashi, who's doing that work. And she's really kind of going, right, let's look at this and create partnerships around the world to look at how as coaches we can have an impact, not just through our coaching, but through the other things that we can bring. And coaching is a huge part of it, but what else can we bring around to create that change?
Okay. And so there's a little bit more of a poke coming from me now. So I love that. And I guess your ethos, your purpose for being is a purpose that many who are in your situation with training organizations, it's really what we're driven to do, isn't it? To sort of really enable people to become all that they can be. And there's something here about how do we equip people to have these conversations and to be in this conversation as a coach? So I think one of the things you just pointed to there is there's some research that's sort of happening at the moment. And one of the things that we're finding, and we often find when people join the Climate Coaching Alliance, is that going, yeah, you know, I've stopped flying, I eat this, I do this and I do that and I do all my community work, but how do I do this as a coach in my conversations? And so it's almost, it's how is it there at the beginning of people's journeys? And I think that's not an easy question to answer.
Yeah, and one of the things that, you know, I'm not sure if you were asking me a question there or not, but one of the things that sort of jumped to mind for me is the diversity of our trainers, which then allows the different conversations to take place. So we seek out trainers of difference, different perspectives, different cultures, different genders, you know, just indifference, to go, what is it that you can bring to this organization that helps us to think more and beyond what we're thinking? So we have coaches that are very much in, or trainers that are very much involved in environmental aspects, so that becomes part of the DNA of the organization, because we're having those conversations. Well, what is it that you're doing then about the environment? How does that feed into the community? So we then start to have wider conversations around that without forcing it upon anyone. So how do we allow it to permeate the system without becoming a rigidity within the system?
I love that. I love that because there's that real sense of push and pull, isn't there? If we go back to Heron's work and that real sense of being able to pull it through because it's actually part of the DNA of your organisation. And if we look across to living systems thinking and living systems design, then that the diversity, the fact that you have not just diversity from an external perspective, but the it's almost the phrase space of the dialogue is much bigger because you have everyone is allowed to bring their ideas, their ways, their uniqueness into the conversation, which then allows other people to percolate and leap and build from that. So yeah, so I'll take you off the hook again now. Thank you very much.
But it's there's something here as well. I think there is a paying attention to the environment in which we are in and the environment in which we witness that allows us to ask other or different questions. So, you know, part of the Animus operations team are based in the Philippines, and there are times of the year where they are experiencing hurricanes or heat waves or floods, and, you know, we'll be having conversations with them about that and just asking ourselves that question of, you know, that that's impacting on you and your work and your ability to work or your family. And okay, so what's that about and why is that happening and is it happening more or less? And as you're saying there about the pulling, we sort of pull that into our conversations, and then for me that then spreads out into the organization as part of the debate, which then arrives in the coaching spaces as part of those debates as well. Now I'm sure that there is more that we could do. I think there's always more that one might do with these debates or with these ideas to bring a richness. But like I said, for me, there is something about opening a space for the conversation as opposed to imposing the conversation.
Yeah. And, I think that's very true. I mean, one of the things that we often talk about, we're often very conscious of doing in our community as the Climate Coaching Alliance is building getting the level of scaffolding right for the space to emerge for people so they feel enough support but they feel they can flourish and take the conversation or follow their energy in the direction it needs to go to. So it's making sure that the scaffolding is there but it's not too closed and it's not so open that everyone's really wondering what it is that they're really here for. And it's a constant dance in terms of stepping back and allowing others to step forward. And so that scaffolding is one of the things we really pay attention to. And your points have raised my attention just to the joint statement of the coaching professional bodies has said actually this the climate and ecological emergencies are our agenda. They are of our concern. And I think that sort of stepping up and saying actually this is within the framework of coaching to sort of really look at this and consider how we respond. I think that gives a level of an openness to the scaffolding that's been around coaching for decades and has sort of opened it up and sort of brought attention to the climate and ecological crisis for all coaches, which perhaps hasn't really been there before. It's not been part of the conversation before, but now it is.
And when I hear that, I sometimes wonder how that might also isolate someone who doesn't necessarily feel that that is part of their agenda. I remember reading a while back when sort of the pandemic began or was raising and people, different coaching bodies were saying, you know, we should, we must, it's our duty to, or language similar to that, which gave this idea that as a coach, it was my job to do that. And I sort of was like, I'm not sure that that is my job or my choosing right now. And it made me wonder, you know, are some coaches embracing that, which I'm sure there are. But are there other coaches who feel like, oh, I'm being told that if I want to be a coach and I'm part of this industry, that I have to do this thing that I might not be ready or desiring to do?
Yeah, no, of course. And if we were to, if we were observing our students using shoulds, musts and ought tos, we'd be saying, did you notice? Or what did you notice? And so that's very true. And so I think one of the things that we always try to do here, I mean, the professional bodies and the Climate Commission Alliance, is to frame things as an invitation.
Yeah.
And we're very, one of the, we, there are members in our community who, you know, are much more at the sort of active end, and there are other members who are much more at the really end. And so it's having a community that has space for everybody. So if people have not thought about this before, or people who are very curious, it's about being hugely welcome to everybody. Because if we think about sort of two dynamics that are significant, one is this sort of fear-based sense of scarcity, and one is this love-based sense of abundance. And we've, our society, or the society that you and I live in, has or lived most of our lives in, has been very much one based on scarcity and fear, which allows this economic model to build, which is around consumption and individualism. And whereas if we look to love and abundance, then that allows us to let go of some of those fears and to allow ourselves to become. And so the love and abundance, the noticing and paying attention to, it's not about if you don't do this, you won't have that, but it's about if you come into here, then actually you can flourish in a different way.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, and I was thinking about what I'd read before around this work and some of the stuff that I've read from the coaching bodies, it sort of made me go, I wonder what was triggered in me that I was unable to hear that invitation, or I wonder what language was presented so I couldn't hear it, and how might we hear the invitation so that we can take part in the debates, as opposed to get triggered by the invitation or the language that is used that causes us to question without investigating.
Yes, yeah. And also, it's not going to be for everyone, is it?
Yeah.
Everyone's got to find their own place and make their own choices.
And this is what I think is so lovely about coaches in this space, is that as a coach, we can recognize that it's a choice. It's about the path that we want to walk or that we want to create for ourselves. So we can look at this work and go, okay, so what is my path that I want to create? Where's the journey that I want to take? What's the journey I want to take with this, or the investigation that I want to explore? And what can I allow to emerge into that space that allows me to explore, to test, to try, to ponder, to move away from, and then come back to, and to see where I'm sitting with that, and not be beholden to somebody else's agenda or to impose my own agenda.
As we've just had that conversation, there's just and again, the Philippines comes back to mind, is that you and I sit in a very privileged part of the world where we have a level of choice available to us that's not available to others, in that there is still this slight sense of, you know, climate change and this feedback we're getting for the way that we're living is over there and it's not here. I think we're noticing that it actually is here. And so I think there's something about being very careful about framing this as a choice. We can choose how we want to move forward.
Yeah.
But whether we are impacted by this or not, we don't have a choice over. It is impacting us, and it will impact us hugely. And so I think there's something about how do we adapt and respond to that? We in many ways, just as human beings, would do ourselves, it serves us well to understand this situation and to depolarize it from the deep political polarization it's experienced, and just sort of this is our future. So how do we understand it more?
And I think that sort of the political aspect of it really rings true for me, because when we talk about living in a space that feeds us, that protects us, that houses us, we all go, yeah, that's a good thing, right? No, we don't question that. When we talk about the environment for wildlife to live and grow, we go, yeah, that's great. That should be allowed, and that should happen. I'm being a bit generalistic here, but we kind of have a sense of agreement around that. But then it gets politicized, and we start to get an us and them, a polarization appears, and then we take a stance. Or we join a party, or we have a particular argument, and then we get fixed or wedded to that argument, and then it gets stuck. And when you were talking about the invitation, it kind of made me go, yeah, when we have invitations, they're not political invitations, they're just invitations to explore. And when we think about systems thinking, we're thinking about our part within the system, but we're also thinking about the system, and we can begin to uncouple some of that party politics from that and explore it in a more systemic way, I guess.
And it just brought me back to that quote by Chief Seattle. I'm just going to try and remember it without and do it a good service instead of not a good service. But it's actually on the Climate Coaching Alliance website at the moment, so that's good. So the quote is that humankind has not woven the web of life, but we are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together, all things connect. So that polarization is to kind of take us outside of actually the truth of just the very truth that we are nature, and to consider things as separate too, but they're not. Everything is bound together. And that just reminds me, as I'm now looking at that website, is we have a so I'm going to do an unexpected plug here. We have an event on one of the things that we started doing last year. Liz Hall invited us to, or just said, oh, I'm thinking Coaching at Work are going to put together this Climate Coaches Action Day. And so even I and Josie thought, oh, that's a good idea. What could we do? You know, and then we decided that actually our intention then was to create a global community of coaches. And so we thought, maybe we should have a global conversation. And maybe we should have a global conversation for 24 hours. So we made the full use of that 5th of March day, and we started in New Zealand with two co-hosts, and every hour it moved on to two new co-hosts, same sort of shape of conversation. And it ended up in Hawaii. And that was all about raising awareness, and people were just coaches who we often work in very isolated ways once we've been through our training, and they were just like, oh my God, I've been worrying about this too, and this has been my life's work, and real swelling and connection with people. And then we decided to do it again in October. And that was about shifting from permission to action. So we followed a similar format and had a different sort of conversation. And then obviously a year after, we're doing it again. So the 4th of March, we are hosting again another 24-hour conversation, but instead of it being held centrally, we've got a light scaffolding there, and we're inviting everybody who's a member or who's not a member or who's connected to coaching in some way to bring a conversation that they want to have to that, or to join a conversation on the 4th of March, wherever they are in the world, to create a session and you know, just thinking for Animus, it could be, how do we bring this into our coaching conversations? You know, so any sort of conversation, but something that helps coaches move along, shift and wake up. And our whole community is invited to contribute both a session and also, to join in. So I've got a colleague locally who's interested in doing some body work, connecting climate and body work. Others are saying, well, let's have a walk in nature together wherever we are. Let's take our Zooms or whatever platform it is and go out for a walk and do some nature coaching. We're inviting organisations who are struggling with this, so financial organisations who are working right at the edge of this, to sort of bring their work into this and say, this is what our leaders are struggling with, you know. So we hope to have a really big conversation on the 4th of March.
That sounds really interesting, and you know, we would love to get involved in some shape or form with that. So let's continue that conversation and see how, you know, what part we can play within that. I think that'd be great. And I really like this idea of a 24-hour conversation or a 24-hour space where people can come in and have these conversations, facilitate these conversations to explore what other people are exploring. Because as you said, as coaches, it can be incredibly isolating, and Animus, we work really hard to create a community that has a life beyond your training. Because I know when I first trained as a coach, it was like you finished your training and that was it. You were kind of left stranded. And I remember when I found Animus, I was like, this is something that I want to stay part of, because it's an ongoing community, people that have been here for a very long time and people that are brand new, and how that brings a freshness and an experience to the conversations that I had. So yeah, I think it'd be wonderful to join in that community conversation and to share my own thoughts or the organization's thoughts and individual's thoughts as part of that forum.
Mm. Great. There you go. That was my unintended plug, but it worked.
Brilliant. Well, it's been a real pleasure having this conversation with you, Alison, and I feel like that we've kind of scratched the surface around this, and I look forward to revisiting this conversation in the future and delving into sort of different areas and exploring the continued work that you're doing.
And I think one of the things that we are really always keen to do, Eve, Josie and I guess the image that comes to mind is that we may be the seeds for the community, but we're not the community. The community, there's so many other members in this community, and so I think so many others could add to this conversation. So yes, if you want another conversation, then I might introduce somebody else who has a different perspective or who has their own story.
Yeah, that would be a real pleasure to bring in a few voices and to debate the idea, discuss the idea, and see what emerges.
Yeah, lovely. Well, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks for making the space.
Thank you so much, Alison.
If you'd like to watch these episodes as well as listen, you can find the video interviews on our YouTube channel and website now. Thanks for tuning in to Coaching Uncaged. Join us again for more captivating conversations, exploring the art of coaching.